Welcome to episode 9 of our Easter season special, The Centurion's Witness, a production of 1010 Thrive Ministries.
I stood at the edge of the crowd as 3,000 people moved toward the water. Entering water, one by one, 3,000, in a single afternoon. Tax collectors, merchants, pilgrims from every corner of the empire. Women who had wept at the cross, men who had shouted for his death. All of them walking into the water as one thing and coming out as another. I did not move, not at first. I watched. The centurion in me was calculating, assessing. What would this cost? What would Rome say? What would become of a Roman officer baptized in the name of the man Rome had just executed? And then I heard Peter's voice again, not preaching this time, speaking to a woman near the water's edge.
What is your name, sister?
My name is Miriam.
Miriam, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
Then your sins are forgiven. Everyone. The ones you remember and the ones you have tried to forget. Rise, Miriam. You are new.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Jesus.
Something broke in me. Not loudly, not dramatically, the way a dam breaks, not all at once, but at the weakest point, and then everything follows. I removed my cloak. I removed my belt. I set aside everything that marked me as a soldier of Rome. And I walked to the water. Peter saw me coming. He did not flinch. He did not ask why a Roman centurion was walking toward him. He simply waited.
I know who you are.
Then you know what I have done.
Yes, I do, centurion.
I held the spear.
I know.
I pierced his side.
I know.
Can there be forgiveness for the hand that held the lance, for the one who arrested him in the garden, for the one who brought him from Pilate's chambers to Golgotha, for the one whose men gambled over his clothing and mocked him?
Brother, there is forgiveness for the ones who gave false testimony. There is forgiveness for those who mocked and jeered and yelled, "Crucify him." There is forgiveness for the hands that drove the nails. There is forgiveness even for the lips of a follower who denied him 3 times before the rooster crowed. I know this, because I am one of those men. What is your name, soldier?
They call me Longinus.
Longinus, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
I do. I saw him die, and I believe he lives.
Then your sins are forgiven. The spear, the silence, the years of not knowing, all of it, washed clean.
When I came out of the water, I cannot tell you that the sky changed. I cannot tell you that I heard a voice from heaven, but something old and heavy had been lifted from my chest, something I had been carrying since Carthage, since Pontus, since the first man I ever killed in battle. It was gone. And in its place, a stillness I had never known. Not the absence of noise, the presence of peace. I stood there, dripping, in the middle of Jerusalem, no longer a centurion, no longer a soldier of Rome, and for the first time in my life, free. And all I wanted, the only thing I wanted, was to tell someone, anyone, everyone. I found a group of pilgrims near the temple and I told them, "Listen to me, I was a Roman centurion. I was at the cross. I watched Jesus die. I held the spear that pierced his side. And I tell you, he is alive. The guards at the tomb, I know them. They told me what they saw before the priests paid them to lie. An angel rolled the stone away. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive."
"You, a Roman?"
"Yes, a Roman who has been shown mercy by a Jewish carpenter who is the Son of God." I told the story again that afternoon, and again the next day, and the day after that, in the markets, near the temple, outside the city gates.
"Centurion, why should we believe you?"
"I was there. He forgave the men who killed him. The tomb was empty.
I heard that he didn't really die on that cross."
"I held the spear."
"He's dead. That's what the chief priests have said."
"He is alive." And each time I spoke, the words felt less like a report and more like a fire that I could not and did not want to contain. But fire draws attention, and not all of it welcome.
"Why do you come here to me? I should not be seen with the likes of you."
"The centurion, the one they call Longinus, he is speaking publicly, every day, larger crowds each time."
"A Roman soldier proclaiming the resurrection is more dangerous than 1,000 fishermen."
"What would you have us do?"
"What we should have done the moment he opened his mouth. See to it."
I did not know it then, but the ground beneath me was already shifting. The same machinery that had condemned Jesus was turning its attention toward me. And the same choice he had faced, truth or survival, was about to become mine.
To be continued.